Arnold.
Did trip a little bit, but that's football. That's why they say it's a game of inches. I did sucky.
Rich Keefe.
That was that terrible play by me. That should never happen. I just lost. I thought we had one timeout. I was just not thinking on third down.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
How did that happen?
How could it happen? Where the f*** are they all?
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Absolutely exhilarating, unbelievable, fascinating end of game victory. Oh, we weren't talking about the Bruins overtime win.
Oh, Dale,
not
we were
quite
not.
So much.
No, not yet. We can get there.
We're
like.
Well, probably, you know, probably the third, second,
I
third,
feel like
fourth
maybe
hours. Maybe
we have a few other things to get to first.
Yes,
I think we may just have a few other things to talk about.
So we're on the set for the pregame show. Pregame show starts at 4 o'clock, and we go in the first commercial break. And then my producer Sean Allen says in my ears, "You won't believe what just happened." And you know, we've got that big projector behind us, and the director threw up on the projector.
Literally. Threw up on the projector.
Threw up
saw
on the projector.
Saw it, threw up everywhere.
Threw it up.
Yeah,
and
I don't blame him.
And so we saw it on this screen that's like, you know, 15 feet wide and 10 feet tall. And it was like, are you bleeping kidding?
Unbelievable. I mean, it really was like the Stanford-Cal band on the field,
yes,
type of thing. Or the Music City Miracle or like whatever these plays. Although those were both special teams plays. You know, that Cal Stanford famous play was a squib kick,
yep,
which was dumb, and then that whole thing. Even the Music City Miracle, that was a kickoff and then a long lateral by Frank Wycheck. This was, and it's funny because we were just talking about this, I want to say last week, how I almost prefer the throw it short, make a tackle,
yeah,
rather than the Hail Mary because, yeah, you'll see a Hail Mary completed every once in a while. I know Aaron Rodgers has completed like a bunch of them in his career. And yeah, there's for every Doug Flutie, there's also like a million examples of guys just batting it down. This one, you make a play. And it was actually, yeah, it was. It was 2 weeks ago when at the end of the first half, you remember they threw it short to James White. He picked up like 40 yards, but the defense, there was a wall of guys at the five, and then he just went down. This, a little bit different. Not exactly a wall of guys anywhere, and just the craziest way to lose a game. I mean, it was insane.
There are so many fascinating aspects of the way they lost the game. You know, you can go all the way back to the first half and mistakes that were made. You heard Tom Brady talking about one of them there in the open.
Yeah.
But on the final play itself.
Yeah, just look at that bad
can
boy.
We just start with Bill Belichick's decision to put Rob Gronkowski in, or if it wasn't Belichick, I'll say Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator, whoever inserted him in that play.
That's a Belichick decision.
It was stupid.
The dumbest. One of the dumbest
Ryan Tannehill cannot possibly throw the ball 75, 78 yards.
Especially on one leg. Maybe he can do it normally with no pressure or whatever else. Maybe he can.
Rob Ninkovich
says he can.
You know, but we don't
doubt it. I mean, he's not Michael Bishop, so he can't. I don't think he can throw. Because also, they had the ball at the 31, but it's not like he's going to run up to the line of scrimmage and throw it from the. You know what I mean?
No, he's going to drop 10 yards behind.
Right, so he's going to throw the ball 80 yards. 80 yards, and it's what's damning about it, too, is right away, the play-by-play, the Iron Eagle said, yeah, Rob Gronkowski's in, and he's standing at the 15. So he's all the way back, but he's on the 15. So it wasn't going to be a Hail Mary, and if it was, that was just a we give up. Because the Hail Mary guy completes it, he's just going to get tackled anyway. He's going to get batted down, or there's going to be a million people.
The only possible play was the one the Dolphins ran.
Incredible, by the way. I mean, you almost have to tip your cap. As frustrating as it was.
No, the execution was great.
It was.
But beyond the fact that I think Bill Belichick / Brian Flores screwed
up. That
was
so dumb.
By putting Rob Gronkowski in to begin with. As dumb as
miraculous in Miami!
Yeah, alliteration is important.
Oh, it's good.
I like alliteration.
Channel 7 applauds.
Yes.
As dumb as I think that is, I actually saw Patriots players who I thought quit on the play, which, let's be honest, we're not used to seeing that here. Patrick Chung quit on the play.
They all thought somebody else was going to make the tackle.
Yes!
It was bizarre. They all thought either that or how many times have you seen those plays unfold at the end of games and one of the offensive players throws an illegal lateral, so it's almost like, all right, it doesn't matter, there's a flag, like just go down. They were very good about it. They made a couple of quick laterals, and then that was it. Kenny and Drake took it and ran, and he forced those guys to make tackles. Rob Gronkowski looked like an offensive player trying to make a tackle. That was embarrassing. He's a very athletic guy,
and,
but that's not what he's meant to do.
An offensive player who's got some physical limitations.
He's hurt, and he's hurt. And what sucks, too, is he had his best game since week one.
Great.
He was awesome. But all I can think about is him getting tripped up in quicksand there at the 5-yard line, his knees going one way, his body trying to go the other. That's my lasting image of Gronk from that game. But he was great. He went over 100 yards. They were throwing to him. He was, you know, he's finding open spots and zones. He was doing everything. He was great. But all I could think about is that stupid play at the end where I'm like, oh, my God, if he's the last line of defense, you're trusting a tight end to know the exact angles and make a play on a running back? No chance. But you're right. Some of the other guys kind of jogging through. Now, on that play,
J.C. Jackson all of a sudden went, oh, wait a minute, I got to get going
here. He was
close
at one point.
And then he sort of started to jog, and then he picked
it up. You can dive. You're allowed to dive. Right?
Well, he did at the end, but it was too late.
At the very end. And that was at Van Noy, who actually was maybe the closest to making a tackle, and he went down. And I can understand this isn't a scenario where, oh, 11 guys to the ball. Well, no, if you do 11 guys to the ball, then you will lose because they can just flip it back. If they do a lateral the other way, now there's nobody on that side of the field. Because when I've watched the play like 1,000 times. I think we all have.
I think maybe 1,002.
It's insane. But Gilmore was on the defensive right side, and you see him kind of jogging. But I'm not even as mad at him because I think he's just preventing a tossback. But all the guys that were in that area, it felt like Jackson will make the tackle. Nah, Chung will make the tackle. Nah, this guy. How about Devin McCourty? He's a pretty good tackler, right? Not on the field, Dale.
If he was
out
there.
Not on the field.
By the way, the fastest player and probably their best tackler, the one guy who should have been where Rob Gronkowski was standing,
ridiculous,
would have been there if they had not made that substitution.
And he's one of those safeties. He's one of the better safeties as far as, like, the center fielder. Like, that guy. Like, he's not laying huge hits. Like, he's not crushing guys. But as far as being that last line of defense, there's not too many guys better than Devin McCourty. So let's take him out. Let's put in a tight end who has not been 100% maybe ever, and certainly not this season, and let's put him in a position to make a tackle. That was just so bad. And as you're seeing it unfold, you're like, there's a lateral. Oh, there's another lateral. And then Drake just takes it and just starts sprinting. And you're like, oh, no, this – can this possibly be?
And I still didn't think you don't expect that play to work. It's the first time that a play of that length has worked on the last play of a game since the merger.
Yeah, it's never happened like this. This has never happened. And I just think bringing Gronk in is kind of like whatever anyway. Like, I don't know if I like it. Like, I remember Randy Moss went in a couple times when they had him here. Like, teams have done it. I've seen the Falcons bring in Julio Jones. I've seen that before. But that, to me, only makes sense if they start in the end zone. Say the ball is at the 50, and you know it's one last play, and it's going in the end zone. Like, the team has to score a touchdown. I guess I get it, but don't you pay Devin McCourty a lot of money to play defense?
To do that thing
right
there.
Yes. So, by no means, as soon as you saw Gronk standing on the 15 to start the play, you're like, well, this isn't a Hail Mary situation. This is not a bat-the-ball-down situation. This is he-may-have-to-make-a-tackle situation. They should have called a timeout. They should have made the play there. Because I don't know if it's – Belichick signs off on it. So to your point, I don't know if Flores said, hey, they only have one chance, no timeout, so let's put in this. Because we practice this, let's put in this personnel. But Belichick can say, no. We're not doing that. Put the real defense back in there and just get one last play, one last tackle, and the game's over. And you win the game.
Put Devin McCourty in, play GTFB.
Right.
And you win.
That's it.
They put the one guy out there who, you know, is fine in a different situation. Ironically, in Chicago, that was about a 45-yard last play of the game by Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
So you have that defense in. Gronk was unavailable. They actually put Josh Gordon in there. But that's exactly
you're in the end zone. I don't hate that. That's where you do that.
Yeah. And the big tall guy's able to, you know, spike it to the ground.
Right.
Because Mitch Trubisky and any NFL quarterback can throw the ball 45 yards. Nobody's throwing it 80.
But the other problem with that, too, just the whole idea of putting an offensive player in there is you might tell that guy 100 times, hey, just bat it down.
And they want to catch it.
But they're like, well, I'll catch it. I'm paid to catch it. I'm used to catching it. I'm just going to make a play on it. And then all of a sudden it gets tipped, and then you allow a touchdown. And you're saying, huh, maybe we shouldn't have taken out our Pro Bowl safety. Maybe we should have left him into the game to make a play. As far as in-game decisions, one of the dumbest we've ever seen.
Now,
it is.
It's okay to say that Bill Belichick screwed up. It's okay, by the way. I still think he's the greatest coach who ever lived.
Oh, well, that's the problem is we have to do the caveat every time.
I mean, I
don't want anybody else.
No, I don't want to fire Belichick.
No, I'm not doing that.
He just screwed up.
It was so dumb.
It's okay to say it.
But so here's what I come back to is when we've been looking at the AFC playoff picture, and I say that they have such an overwhelming advantage over Andy Reid, Mike Tomlin, Bill O'Brien. I still think they have the advantage, mind you. But this kind of brings you back into the pack because the Patriots might not have as much talent as those other teams. But they have the smartest quarterback and they have the smartest head coach. And both of them in this game made idiotic, dumb things that they never do.
Well, let's talk about the smartest quarterback, okay? The play at the end of the first half, which was inexplicably stupid. It was as bad as Bill Belichick deciding to put Rob Gronkowski in.
It was very similar.
And I heard Brady's explanation. I heard him this morning on with Mutt and Callahan. And the question I have, again, greatest quarterback whoever
I know,
lived.
Caveat.
Don't want
caveat.
Anybody else to play quarterback for my team.
Yes.
If he thought he had a timeout, why didn't he call it? The minute he hit the ground, why didn't he immediately call timeout?
I thought we had one timeout. We called the one, and then we ran a couple plays, and I was just not thinking on third down. So it was just a play that should never happen.
Okay, even if I buy it, and by the way, I don't think he's telling me the truth.
Yeah.
I don't think he is, because I think the minute he hits the ground, if he thinks he has another timeout, he calls it. He doesn't have to look to the sideline to see if the coach wants him to call it. Assuming he thinks he has one, the minute he goes, oh, crap, I should have gotten rid of this ball. Timeout, timeout.
Yeah, I don't understand that because you would think – so they call the timeout with, what, 26 seconds left. So how are they not saying third and final timeout? Like, how do you not hear that?
They do.
And they do. And, again, this is a guy where you would say, hey, Patrick Mahomes might lose track of timeouts
yes,
in the playoffs.
Rookie might do that.
He could lose his mind. Deshaun Watson, even, second year in the league, he could lose his mind.
Mark Sanchez, because he's stupid, well, never mind.
By the way, did you see Joe Philbin used both of his challenges 90 seconds into the game?
And lost them both.
He lost them both. He's out of challenges. A minute 26 into the game. But anyway, you would think the advantage for Brady, maybe Roethlisberger, Rivers, some of the more experienced quarterbacks, Breeze, these guys wouldn't do this. And then he does, and I'm with you, the explanation made no sense to me because he didn't immediately start calling timeout or looking around for the timeout. He kind of knew that, oh, they just screwed up. The one thing I would say is if he admits in the post game, he said, I thought we had a timeout, isn't that actually worse?
Yeah, it is, because you've lost track of what the situation is, which he doesn't do. That's not Tom Brady.
No, because it would make more sense.
He's the smartest player on the field.
Yeah, I should have gotten rid of it, but the pressure just came too quickly, and rather than throwing a pick or risking fumbling or whatever else, that's what happened. Still bad, but it's not as confusing as, wait a minute, Tom Brady forgot how many timeouts there were? Like, that's the last
and
guy
when they
on
call
earth
the
you'd
third
expect
one,
that from.
Isn't at some point when Josh is in his...
All right, guys, no timeouts.
All right,
simple.
It's third and such and such. You got to get rid of the ball. Don't take a sack. You got no timeouts left.
Right, you
got
to throw it in the end zone or right at the sideline and make sure the guy gets out. I think all the receivers would know that too. Like, I got to get into the end zone or get the hell out of bounds immediately so we can kick a field goal. That's what you're thinking in that spot. So it was weird because overall... Brady had a nice day. You look at the stats
he was
putting up.
Great. It's like Gronk.
Oh, yeah, they both did.
Other than until the last play, Gronk was great. The Tom Brady touchdown pass to Cordarrelle Patterson is the best pass I've seen him throw this year.
Yeah, might be. He was throwing some darts.
It was on a line, a frozen rope, perfectly placed. He was really good yesterday. 358 yards passing, 3 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah.
Looked great.
All the numbers were there.
And then vapor locked.
And then I don't know what that was. Late in the first half. Now, it was so far removed from the freak play that there are other things to digest, but that is a real weird one where the Patriots, especially, they're so good late in the half. They always try to score and then score on the other side of the half, and they do that, and they just take teams out. They do it all the time, and to leave points on the board like that was shocking. It seemed like, all right, this is a step backwards for the defense kind of game, but the offense was right there. The offense was lighting it up and was looking really good. And then to see them leave points going into the half, you're like, well, that's not like them. But, all right, let's see what the second half has in store. And then
then they score 6 points in the second half.
Right. Exactly.
It's like...
no touchdowns in the second half.
This pains me to say it because he really is one of my favorite people on the team. Steven Gostkowski can't miss these kicks.
No, brutal.
You can't miss an extra point kick, and he hadn't all year.
No, I know.
You can't miss the field goal, and I know the field sucked. I understand that.
Still.
Everybody's got to play on it.
Sucks for everybody.
Everybody's got to kick on it. He can't miss these kicks.
No.
Now, they left 7 points on the field minimum, Brady vapor locking on the timeout, Should have been a field goal there.
Well, assuming he makes the field goal.
Assuming, that's a good point. You know, the missed field goal, the missed extra point.
Yeah, right.
Do you think that would have made a difference in this game?
I'm sure that it would have. It absolutely would have. And that was frustrating. You know, and we've seen Gostkowski miss some kicks in the playoffs. You know, we've seen him in the Super Bowl. We've seen him miss kicks. And this isn't one of those situations where it's windy and snowy and Gillette and all that stuff. Like, no, you're down in Miami. I know the field's
80 degrees.
It's not the greatest field ever, sure, but it's not like he slipped. It's not like he pulled a Boswell and went down.
Ooh, that was
like,
ugly, huh?
He just missed two kicks. And even the last field goal that he made.
Just barely
If he wasn't on the left hash, I'm not sure he makes it.
I know.
And so you're like, oh, now we got to worry about this guy now, too? You got enough going on.
And you've got the whole, and it's funny because the final drive, and when I got home last night, I rewatched the whole fourth quarter again because I really wanted to make sure. I didn't have an issue at all with how the Patriots approached the end of the game until obviously the final play. I didn't mind them, you know, making the Dolphins eat up their timeouts. I didn't even mind them not going for the end zone. And by the way, somebody break the news to Dan Fouts that letting the Patriots score there would have been a bad plan.
I mean, what are we doing here? Like, Dan, I mean, come on. Like,
good plan. Let's let them score and put the game completely out of reach.
Might want to let them score here. Is that right, Dan?
Miami could do is get the football with 15 seconds left.
Or they could just let them score here.
No.
I wonder what Ian Eagle's like. Oh, God. Do I say something now and just get into
palm
a whole conversation?
Forehead.
Yeah, he's like, do I even stop it? And he's like, well, maybe nobody heard that. Maybe nobody heard it.
See, I had no problems with how they did it. I liked how they set things up, running the ball. Yes, could you? If you'd scored a touchdown, would it have been better? I don't want Tom Brady throwing the ball there. I don't want a mistake being made there. Do exactly what you did. Bleed clock. You know, make them use up their timeouts. Kick the field goal. Make it a five-point game. Do all that stuff, and then just don't give up a 69-yarder.
By the way,
you could just let him score here.
No, you can't. No, Dan, you can't. No. You can't do that. You want to stop him there. And actually, that pass interference by Fitzpatrick on Josh Gordon, that saves the game.
Oh, thank God! Right?
If Gordon catches that, he's scoring.
I heard Mutt this morning say a ticky-tack foul. No, you can't grab the guy's one arm.
He was holding
the one arm.
Right, he was forcing him into a
one-handed
catch.
No, it's like that textbook was a legit interference.
Call. No, that was a legit call. I'm also really feeling pretty good about my take that the best short yardage back on the team is James Devlin. See him in the end zone again?
Another one.
How about that? They don't trust Sony Michel. I'm not going back on the, like, I don't think Sony Michel is awful, but he needs to improve on the short yardage stuff, doesn't he? Like, that's frustrating. And maybe the hope was it was going to be Jeremy Hill's job at the beginning of the year, or and you know, eventually Sony Michel would be able to do it. But on some of those plays, yeah, obviously you would love to see him score a touchdown there late in the fourth quarter. They don't. But it seems like if they get into the goal line situation or third and short, they can't trust handing the ball off to Sony Michel. Even with Devlin in front of him, seems like he gets stopped at the line. So that was a step backwards kind of game for Sony Michel.
Now, you played this game at the highest level, Keith, so you got to help me
with this. No, that is true.
Help me out with this.
Yeah.
How does this defense go from as good as they were here a week ago against Minnesota, where their tackling was sure, their defense was good, against, by the way, a much better offensive team than the one they faced yesterday?
Yeah.
How do you go from that to what I watched yesterday, where they couldn't stop a thing? They couldn't tackle. They couldn't stop. They couldn't get the Dolphins off the field. And when they did, by the way, force them to punt, they were going to block it anyway.
Can I give you an I don't know?
Can I give you a
Miami? They all suck in Miami.
From what I watched here against Minnesota to what I watched 7 days later in Miami, where that defense was awful.
It was bizarre because we've seen them have really bad games. We saw the Tennessee game. That was not that long ago. But more recently, the Jets game, they score one touchdown. The Vikings game, they allow one touchdown. So you're like, all right, maybe they figured things out. And this offense, you're right, better than New York's, worse than Minnesota's. So why is this so different? It just seems like this team on the road, different
soft.
Team. Different team.
S-A-W-F-T. Soft.
You gotta have zero faith in them going on the road to get to the Super Bowl. I felt that way going into yesterday. Now I feel it even stronger. If things go their way, if they find a way to have home field, and it's still there's a chance. There is. Not that they're going to be the number one seed. I think that's gone.
Oh, I think that's pretty safe.
But if another team goes into Kansas City and wins, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but if that happens, I wouldn't be shocked. Somebody went into Tennessee went into Kansas City last year and beat them. Now, Kansas City wasn't as good, but still, everybody talks about, oh, that home field is, you know, nobody can beat them there. So I think it can be done. But right now, the Patriots, they screwed themselves yesterday. They really did, because there was still a decent chance. Even with the Chiefs' comeback win over the Ravens, they still have a couple of tough games left. There was a chance the number one seed was theirs. Now it just seems like that's out the window.
No, I've already kissed that
that's
one.
That's gone. That's gone.
Now the question,
the bye is still there.
Yes,
you saw that thanks to the Texans
home
losing.
Field and the bye.
Yeah.
Now the question becomes: what do you get next Sunday? You go to Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger's a question mark right now.
Pittsburgh.
Are his ribs okay? Are they not okay?
They suck.
Reading today out of Pittsburgh, James Conner may play. We don't know.
They need Conner, as it turns out.
Do they ever?
Holy smokes, do they need Conner. So if they don't
and
have
if
Conner
he does
or
play,
he's hobbled,
can anybody stop him on this defense?
Well, not no.
Frank Gore made him look pretty bad.
Frank Gore is a legend. That guy's been in the league for 100 years.
105 years old.
Was he like eighth all-time in rushing yards? Something nuts like that. He's really high on the all-time rushing list.
I never think of Frank Gore as a Hall of Famer, and yet he will be and should be.
I think he will be. And it's funny because he was a guy coming out of college that had so many injuries. Like, he won't stay healthy. And now he's like 35 and he's still playing. He's fourth all-time?
That's all just fourth.
Or maybe he started the year eighth or something. So he's fourth all-time in rushing. That's outrageous. Because I definitely don't consider him the fourth best or even in the top 10 running backs of all time. But what do I know? No, so on the now, as much as the Patriots suck against the Dolphins in Miami,
I know
Pittsburgh, they also dominate Pittsburgh. So how many times do we have to see it where you're just like, there's something there? Like I didn't have the guts to pick the Patriots to lose yesterday, but I certainly thought Miami was going to cover. I'm like, it's going to be a gross kind of close game. Pittsburgh, I have the same thing. Like Brady dominates the Steelers. Roethlisberger's record is terrible against the Patriots, and Even if the game, like, this is one where it shouldn't matter where the game is played. Although, does how bad the Patriots have played on the road this year, does that kind of trump them being good against the Steelers all the time? Like, something has to give there.
It's weird. This whole
yeah, it's been a weird season.
It's a weird season in the NFL, and good for the NFL in a lot of ways.
Oh, they're loving it.
I mean, some of the stuff that you saw yesterday outside the Patriots-Miami game.
Yeah.
I mean, you had these incredible plays, incredible finishes. All that's all good.
That Cowboys-Eagles game was a crazy finish. Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
Cowboys now have a 99% chance, according to the odds makers, of winning the NFC East.
How about that? Well, it's a death blow to the Eagles, I think. Super Bowls and missing the playoffs, that's a tough season.
Prescott only threw for like 450-some-odd yards.
Amari Cooper, and I'm like, what a stupid trade by the Cowboys.
Yeah,
this guy's like a machine. He had like 200-something yards and three touchdowns yesterday.
All right, here's the deal. We're down at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday because, surprisingly, the Patriots did not have a victory Monday today.
No, loser Monday.
They were not given the day off, which means we go back to our studios in Brighton, but they're here today. I bet that's a chuckle fest down the hall.
What time's Belichick? 3:05?
I bet it is.
I assume.
Oh, yeah.
I am locked and loaded.
If ever there was
an
appointment listening today,
we were talking with Rossi before. We could probably, for people who missed it at some point, Dale, play his entire post-game press conference.
It won't take long.
And we'll have plenty of other time to react.
Yeah.
Non-stop, wall-to-wall coverage of the Patriots. We're back with Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Bill Belichick is losing his fastball. He is losing his genius label. Maybe he's losing some interest and some heart because he was forced to keep Tom Brady and he was forced to trade Jimmy Garoppolo to San Francisco. I don't know. But I know for a fact this is horrendously bad what he did, not only on the last play, but the way his defense performed in Miami yesterday is not exactly genius label defense.
Oh, they are lined up waiting to take shots here today. And last night,
oh sure,
Rex and Skip. And I mean, everybody wants an opportunity to take a shot at Bill Belichick today. Because you know what? He screwed up. He's a human being who makes mistakes. Skip doesn't make mistakes. But just like Rex doesn't make mistakes.
Those guys
just
haven't.
Like other
not
people.
In their career.
You know, he made a mistake. He screwed up. Now,
but you have to admit,
he won't admit it,
doesn't make many.
No, he
Brady,
doesn't.
If any, or Belichick, that is. And that's why I think, you know, his first 17 years with the Patriots or whatever it was, how many can you even really think of? Like even fourth and two, like I can understand the decision.
Oh,
And
by the way, he got it.
I understand that he got it.
He did get it.
I get it. But like that one I get. I can understand the people who say that was dumb, fine. Like, here are all these reasons why, but why they went for it, I can get. You know, you go back to the Malcolm Butler thing in the Super Bowl, and then now this, less than 20 games apart from each other. That's I'm not ripping the genius label off of him, but now all of a sudden you have more examples than you ever had. So it's definitely something to that, but Skip, as always, goes a little overboard.
Devin McCourty played every single defensive snap of the game yesterday except one.
Yeah, which one was that?
Kyle Van Noy, Stephon Gilmore, each played 48 defensive snaps. That was 100%.
48? They only had 48 defensive
48
snaps.
Defensive snaps. Wow. Devin McCourty played 47.
You know what's a crazy...
And the one he didn't play was the one that probably ultimately cost them the game.
Another bizarre stat in the game is that Kenny Stills was the only receiver or only player for the Dolphins that had more than one catch. He had 8 for 135.
It's Richie's stat of the day.
Yep. You know what? I think it is. Everybody else on their team had one catch that Tannehill threw to. Tannehill, by the way, who's limping around. His knee wasn't right at all.
Or his ankle, yeah.
His ankle wasn't right
got
at all.
Got stepped on there on that play.
So he was out there. And then you got Brandon Bolden ripping off touchdown runs. Of all the former Patriots, Dale, that you thought might come back and haunt the Patriots, what number was Brandon Bolden on that list?
He was fairly far down the list.
Oh, God. Of all the guys they've played this year, too, with Butler and Logan Ryan and Danny Amendola, this whole list of guys that Deion Lewis, and then it's Brandon freaking Bolden, 2 carries for 60 yards and 2 touchdowns?
Yikes.
My God. But, yeah, that was frustrating. I mean, once again, on the road, Patriots have really struggled. I know it's a freak way to lose, but the fact that it was even that close with a team that I don't think is that good. I know they're now 7-6, but I still don't look at the Dolphins as a very good team.
All right, let's get to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. Ray is on the cell phone. Hey, Ray.
Hey, guys. Love the show. How you guys doing?
Good. Doing great.
Hey, listen, I got a couple things. One, to Keith's point in the beginning of the show, the defense, they were bad. I mean, and they were looking beyond the game. They were already looking at the hats and T-shirts and they thought the game was going to be over.
Well, you did too, though, right? Ray, you thought it was over.
Of course I did.
Yeah, I did. Everybody did.
Well, we can. Yeah. We're allowed to. Right. They're not. The guys that are on the field are. No, but I think Ray's point is not just the final play. Like, the whole game, you allowed, even with a freak play, you allowed 34 points to the Dolphins? That's a bit much.
Well, my second point is Gronk was absolutely drilled in his lower back on that 2 or 3 yard line.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have been on the field to begin with.
McDonald got him.
Never
good.
Mind that he has no speed. I mean, yeah, he's got the strength, he's got the height, but he shouldn't have been in that position anyway. Belichick should take all the blame for that.
It's one of those things where if McCourty is out there and the exact same thing happens,
you're mad, but you're like, what a fluke play.
And then you look at some of the players and, hey, did they all have full effort? But there's nothing you can really say about Belichick. You know, that's what they did. They put him out there.
Yeah, the players didn't make the play.
But to put Gronk in a spot where he has to cover some ground and take the proper pursuit angle to tackle a running back, like, that's insane.
And one last thing. Guys, let's all not be surprised after the hits that Gronk took that he's not going to be playing in Pittsburgh next week.
I mean, you never know. I mean, there's no indication of that. I mean,
I mean, he's day-to-day as
for life
with the best of them. We all are.
Well, that's true.
But specifically, he is. I mean, he and Brady, and once again, last week was one of those weeks, Dale, where they were both on the injury report, then they were off the injury report. And I don't know why I can't. Maybe I should just ignore it and not even look at the injury report. But I'm saying, so as soon as you take those guys off, are we led to believe they're both 100% healthy? Because there's no way they are. Both of them are dealing with stuff.
I will say, and I've seen the footage of Brady when he went down on the field and grabbed his knee. His explanation this morning with Mutt and Callahan at least made sense to me. His knee brace broke. It was digging into his leg. And you could see him. He's literally
adjusting
moving.
That more than anything else. And
he's
trying
to move that around. And
doesn't mean it didn't hurt the knee.
Oh, no.
But it just means I do understand what he was saying there with those guys. And that was another video that I watched, not nearly as many times as the final play, but I watched that video a few times too. And, yeah, you see him sitting there for a while, certainly way too long for a Patriots fan, but he does start to immediately kind of adjust the knee brace.
And so that explanation makes sense to me more than I thought I had another timeout. That explanation didn't carry as much for me.
That was very screwy. That was very
Here's
unlike
a plan,
him.
Tom. and you didn't have it, but assuming you thought you did,
call it. Try to call one. This isn't the NBA. You call one, you're not going to get a technical. You go ahead.
And they'll look at you and say, no, Tom, you can't do that.
Get out of my face.
Mason's down on the Cape. Hey, Mason.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
What's going on?
First of all, I just want to say to everybody who said the Dolphins had no chance and was going to get crushed, ha-ha, I'm a Dolphins fan.
There you
and
go.
Two.
Yeah, you thought you had a real good chance, didn't you?
No, they did. Down in Miami, why not?
No, I expected them to cover the spread. I didn't think they were going to win, to be honest.
I agree.
But and two, like, do you really think there's positives you could take from Gronkowski's play? I mean, you're playing against rookie.
He was terrific.
A rookie linebacker and a rookie corner all day.
Oh, I don't care. I just wanted to see it. I wanted to see him have that kind of production. I absolutely wanted to see him do that. Get in the end zone, sure.
I'm happy for the guy. I have the utmost respect for New England and what they've done, and I just feel bad that he was put in that position at the end of the game.
See, Dolphins fans are saying, I don't know how bad you really feel, but
they're
saying, come on.
Once the cameras showed that Gronkowski was the last line of defense, I knew there was no way he was catching.
You did not.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you did.
Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill said that, too. Oh, once I saw Gronk, I thought, oh, yeah, stop it.
I don't know. You didn't feel that way?
No, I'm saying,
No.
Tannehill said as the play was going on.
That's my point. Not when it starts. When the play starts, I'm not thinking they're going to complete this and score. But as soon as I saw Kenyon Drake blow past J.C. Jackson and a couple of the members of the secondary, and then I see Gronk trying to take an angle, at that point I knew he was going to score. So, I mean, maybe it wasn't at the 50-yard line, but at the 7, I was like, yeah, okay, he's not going to make a tackle.
Rob Gronkowski, 8 targets, 8 receptions, 107 yards and a touchdown. I don't care who he's playing against.
They're great in
the NFL.
Yeah.
He looked great, I thought.
No, I thought that was a really good game for him, especially coming off of his worst game of the season. That was a nice way to bounce back.
Ironically, I think a lot of people are looking at Gronk on the final play. It's sort of like, Tim Wakefield against Aaron Boone. Nobody blames Wakefield.
You're not blaming Gronk at all.
Nobody's blaming Gronk. They're saying, why'd you put him in that position?
No, so bad. And you got to make that switch. You really do. Because Ryan Tannehill wasn't going to drop back and throw the ball 80 yards.
Ever.
It wasn't going to happen.
He's not Rob Ninkovich.
He doesn't have that kind of arm strength. He can't do it.
Eric's in New Hampshire. Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
What's going on?
So you guys brought up a lot of good points. I don't know if you did it in the first half hour before I started listening, but
it was a good half hour.
I'm sure it always is. But the most interesting stat I saw yesterday was before the game started. I'm not going to lie; I was kind of in and out of the game, and but the most interesting stat I saw was that the Miami Dolphins were the fourth worst offense and the fourth worst defense going into the game. My 13-year-old son's looking at this stat going, yeah, this is going to be a great game. I said, oh, buddy. So hang on a second. And lo and behold, we lose to Miami again in Miami. And so I'm left with the thought, like, has anybody been able to put their finger on what's going on here? Like, what is it really?
No.
I'm baffled by it.
I watched him
play defense against the Vikings a week before and thought, wow. This is a really good defense today, I'm saying.
Yeah.
They had moved into the top 10 in scoring defense in the NFL with their effort against the Vikings. Their tackling was great. So yesterday the Dolphins rushed the ball 21 times for 189 yards. That's an average of 9 yards a carry.
Now, good job.
It's skewed a little bit, I'll grant you,
by
Brandon Bolden. But
even the other guys.
Frank Gore carried 12 times for 92 yards, averaged 7.7 yards a carry.
I mean,
could you tackle somebody?
Nope, couldn't do it. And they bottled those guys up the first time they played them. I mean, this Dolphins team, week 4, they smashed them here at Gillette. It was a 38-7. Kenyon Drake, it was invisible that game. They were terrible. They dominated. That was sort of the, all right, the Patriots are still the Patriots type of game. Because when they played the Dolphins before, the Pats were 1-2. Miami was 3-0. We're like, hey, could it be different this year? And then, nope, they smack them around. You're like, all right, this is going to be the Patriots division again. But it's just going into Miami, I don't get it. Oh, it's hot? Is that really?
Oh,
it's not that hot.
Stop with
it was
that.
Like 80 degrees yesterday. It's a nice day. And
they
it's
only
also
had to throw the football 19 times. Ryan Tannehill was 14 for 19. 265 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Well, they only ran 48 plays.
And a quarterback rating of 155.2.
Yeah, so almost perfect.
Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, an injured Ryan Tannehill. He had to leave the game at one point. Like an injured Ryan Tannehill. It's they're now 1-5 in their last six trips to Miami, and they're all different teams too. Miami, they're some of those years they were 6-10, some they were 8-8. They only have one winning season. Maybe this year will be another one. They're 7-6. I still think they're going to be 8-8, but they had a 10-6 year mixed in. But they're 1-5. I mean, no matter how you skew a stat for the Patriots, to find a situation where they have that kind of record against a team, no matter where the game is played, is very rare. This might be the only thing you can even come up with.
Just a very quick aside, mostly sports related, but
okay.
For people who don't know, over the weekend, the president announced that John Kelly will be leaving as White House chief of staff. He wanted to name the vice president's chief of staff, and that guy said, no, I'm good, thanks. MSNBC has said this morning that among the names being mentioned for White House chief of staff is New York Yankees president Randy Levine.
Yeah, get him.
What?
Yeah, get Levine. He says the Yankees are better than the Red Sox right now. He's obviously very confident, like somebody else
very
we know.
Very confident
so,
guy.
Yeah, get him in there.
Randy Levine is being mentioned as White House chief of staff based on what?
I'm sure he's a nice guy.
He knows Donald Trump, I guess,
Yankees,
from New York.
Successful franchise deal.
When I saw it, it just
that's an odd
cracked
one.
Me up. 617-779-7937. Let me just real quickly here.
Oh,
and at
hold
the risk,
on.
I'm going to read you a tweet, okay?
I love tweets.
This is a tweet that mentions me. Okay,
mentions
here,
you?
Here, yeah, listen to this.
At Daily?
Okay,
or
listen to this. Quote.
You don't want to tease this?
No.
This sounds like
no.
a pretty good tease.
All right, I'll give it to you.
I want to. Ross, don't you want to hear that on the other side?
Oh, I totally do.
I do, too.
Wait till you hear what an idiot Phil Earls is.
Oh, leave Phil Earls. I don't know who Phil Earls is.
Neither does anybody else.
Okay.
And you'll respect him even less when we read the tweet to you on the other side. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We return to Patriots Monday and Dale and Keefe right now on WEEI.
Gronk on the field on that last play, you anticipate a Hail Mary. Is he, his job on that play is what, as far as Gronk on the field?
Well, they could throw it deeper. They could run the Desperado type play, which was kind of a in between 20-yard pass and then turn into Desperado.
No, they couldn't throw it that far, Bill.
I don't think so.
I'm going to guess Ryan Tannehill would have a hard time reaching 75 to 80 yards with that pass attempt.
Don't think he was going 80 yards on that ankle.
Just a thought.
Desperado. I like the name.
I guess what they call
the
it.
The Antonio Banderas.
So I've said on a number of occasions in the past to my No, it wasn't Siri that time.
No, Siri? Oh, somebody
iPad.
Else. Okay.
So,
so what do you got on Twitter?
I said before that people hear what they want to hear, okay?
They definitely do.
It'd be nice if they actually listened first.
It would help,
but it's okay.
Do whatever you want.
So Phil Earls reached out to me on Twitter.
Oh, Phil Earls.
Phil writes, and I'm quoting now.
All right.
Nauseating and pathetic to hear Dale Arnold kiss Belichick's ass on a completely boneheaded decision to have Gronk on that play.
Yeah.
How did we start the show today?
We hated it.
Saying, you know, even a guy
decision.
Who, you know, is the greatest coach who ever lived can screw up.
But it's nauseating.
Which he screwed up. Could we have said it any more plainly than
that? No, it
was
very clear. Very clear. I just thought we needed to do the caveat. And maybe we'll just have Rossi record us saying we can do one for Belichick and we can do one for Brady.
For Brady, who I also think is the greatest quarterback who ever lived, who screwed up.
Screwed up. So Bill Belichick, greatest coach of all time and the greatest coach in the NFL right now. There's nobody else I'd rather have. Boom. Good. You got that sealed. And now you can criticize him.
Wait,
now you're allowed
Phil,
to criticize
Phil
him.
Phil continues.
Oh, there's more from Phil?
Oh, Phil continues.
Phil's hot today.
If it were any other coach, you would be spending the entire show ripping them. Oh, he's only human. Give me a break.
Ooh.
Homer.
You did say he was human.
Well, I did say he was human, and I said he screwed up.
He screwed up. It was terrible.
I don't know how
that
much
was on him.
How much more plain could we make this?
He wants you to get a petition going to get him out of town. That's what he wants.
I did say I don't want him fired.
Yeah, that's good.
I did say
I'm glad you made that clear.
I don't want them to replace him with.
I would
like
him to keep coaching
Josh
the team.
McDaniels for the last three games of the regular season.
No, thank you. Who knows what McDaniels would have done there at the end? Who knows? But yeah, that was terrible.
People
that was
just hear what they want to hear, and that's fine.
But you know what's really screwy, and it is. It's something about maybe we got to start looking at Belichick in Miami. Like is his
just
head,
have Josh coach the team in Miami
or something? What is he doing? Because this was bad for one single play. Terrible. I mean, whatever word you want to choose for it. Remember a few years ago, the Steven Jackson game? That was a terrible game plan. They were trying to make Steven Jackson happen, and then they lost home field advantage. They had to go to Denver, and they lost in the AFC Championship game. They were depleted, and still that game was really close. But that was a terrible game plan, the Steven Jackson thing. This was one play, but both are Miami. Both are in Miami. Both are losses. They're both very confusing. And it's also an example where I can't hear an explanation that will make sense to me.
No, there isn't one.
I can't do it. I can't jump on the other side and say, well, Gronk's really good defensively. I can't go there.
Unless, and this isn't the case, but I'm saying.
No.
Unless what we heard was, well, Brian Flores snuck him out there. I didn't know he was putting him out there.
Well, then Flores is an idiot. Right. Somebody's an idiot.
Somebody's a dope.
Yeah.
And I would like to think that the head coach has got, you know, veto power over decisions like that.
I mean, I don't get it.
So the one snap. The one defensive snap Devin McCourty didn't play.
Yeah.
Was that one? Devin
McCourty,
your fastest guy.
Yes.
And probably one of your best tacklers.
One of your more sure tacklers, definitely.
And I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest he'd have a better chance of getting Kenyon Drake on the ground than Rob Gronkowski would have.
How many career tackles does Gronk have?
Can we get our crack staff on that? We're still at zero.
It might be. I mean, maybe he's been on special teams before, so maybe he's mixed in one. Or after a pick, maybe he's had one or two. But as good of a game as he has had, his skill set is not free safety.
No.
It just isn't. He's kind of a statue in that regard.
And by the way, he's not exactly free-flowing and moving easy right now anyway.
Oh, I thought he was going to get hurt. That really would have just added to
it. Could you imagine?
He could have. Did you see the way his knees looked? I'm surprised he didn't get hurt on that play.
Well,
You know what? Good point. Maybe we'll wait till the injury report on Wednesday. Wouldn't be surprised at all if
it's
you see
not
him
the injury report I heard Mutt say. It's the practice participation report.
It's a catch-all. They're all
it's
correct.
It's got all of that.
It's a practice participation and injury report.
Jay's in Providence. Hey, Jay.
Hey, I haven't really been listening much. I don't know what the whole narrative is right now, but I think anyone that says that Belichick is in fault for yesterday's game, I would have to agree with them.
Yes.
If they say it's because of the last play, that's where I'm in disagreement. I mean, yeah, sure, he definitely messed that up big time, but
disagreement.
I mean, the fact that...
Why? What else was it besides... I mean, he clearly screwed up that last play, so what else was it?
Okay, so the fact that they... You know, this team, I feel like, is the king of in-game adjustments, and they came out in the second half. They had 6 possessions, and they got 6 points. Now, I know Belichick's not out there making the plays, but I feel like they should have been game-planning better, and this is the same thing like you guys were just saying about the game plan with the Steven Jackson thing, and... You know, they just Belichick goes down there, and the game plan wasn't right. And I think that's the same thing again this year. They could have scored at least. And another thing, when they're at the goal line,
yes,
and they're going to take the lead, kick the field goal, they have to get a touchdown there. A touchdown ends the game.
They didn't have to get a touchdown there. I actually wasn't going to kill them on that.
Well, I mean, the game is over if they score a touchdown. They didn't have – I mean, this play – this doesn't happen. Like, we just went over the numbers. This is since the Super Bowl,
right,
there's not been a play that has ended like this, that far away,
oh, no,
with no time, having to score a touchdown and all that. It's just never – it's never happened.
I didn't have an issue with how they you know, moved down – made them use their timeouts, set it up for the field goal, got the field goal,
yeah,
made it a 5-point game. So now they got to score a touchdown to be able to beat them.
But there was a lot of – it's funny. The whole first half until the very last play of the first half, there was a lot of good feelings. It was like, hey, look at Tom Brady. Look at Rob Gronkowski. Things are going well offensively. Defense, different story. But offensively, things were great. But then Tom Brady has that bonehead play, which he never does, but they leave points on the board to end the first half. And then to the caller's point, they only score 6 points in the second half. And they're like, and then it ends that way. So when you look at it, you're like, oh, well, they scored 33 points. It's like, yeah, but they also left points. Now, some of it's on Gronkowski, but some of it's also on Brady. And then the fact that it was this close this entire time with Miami, you kind of put yourself in that situation.
You know what Shrek would say, don't you?
Shrek?
Better out than in, I always say.
Oh,
poor guy had a little...
I actually have the exact opposite kind of philosophy. But I'll just leave it at that.
I mean, you know, yeah, stuff slips out.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I suppose that's true. Thanks for quoting Shrek, Dale.
Well, I didn't know.
When that movie come out?
It was a while ago.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit for Shrek.
Oh, sorry. I couldn't quote the latest Avengers trailer for you.
Oh, my God. Endgame. I am so excited for Avengers Endgame. Cannot wait.
I heard him and Morello in here
waxing poetic about it. Oh, we're excited about these. A lot of good movies on the horizon.
Dorks.
That's right.
I know you're proud of that. I understand. Jay's in Quincy. Hey, Jay.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
What's going on?
Let me just skip all the compliments I want to give to each of you. Just imagine what would be the best compliment, and that's what I would have said.
Oh, you know, really I'm nice. Going so, with a really good
that
one
today,
too.
Jay. Thank you.
So my mother-in-law comes over at the beginning of the fourth quarter yesterday.
Ruining a day even more.
she and my wife and my daughter were going to run out to some store to return stuff and buy stuff. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I was surprised. Grandma says, well, we can't leave now. Let's watch the rest of the game. Looking back, that was the jinx. Mm. So the Pats kick the field goal near the end of the game. There's like 7 seconds left. We're watching the last play. I'm like, oh, all they got to do is tackle them. There's no way they're going to do this. And all of a sudden, we watch you all of women in my family now are standing by the door in shock.
You're going to blame Grandma more than Bill Belichick?
He's putting it on Grandma.
I think you need to reexamine your life here.
I said she was a... But they left, and I was sat here. I'm like, well, I think I might have to drink some whiskey now.
Oh, my God, plenty of whiskey.
See, there was some positives.
I wonder how many... Do you think anybody saw the field goal and then was like, all right, I got to go? Like, game's over, like, maybe you're at somebody's house or maybe something?
Probably didn't think that, but you're probably thinking, okay. It's like they showed Brady on the sideline. He's kind of smiling
with the
equipment guy over there, and I thought it was over. You thought it was
over. I wonder if anybody left and then was like, excuse me? Now, this is one thing I also... I don't know if this really makes a huge difference, but I'm pretty consistent with this. I think if you have a kicker who can kick touchbacks, do it.
Do it.
I feel like that's the way to go. I think no matter what, if it's a good offense, do it. If it's a bad offense, do it. It still makes sense to me to do that. Now, I know they took some time off, but ultimately that didn't really matter. And so they got to start at the 31. So maybe they still... Maybe at the 25, it's only 6 yards different. Maybe it's the exact same thing. But I just overall...
Two other tackles would have been missed.
Yeah, exactly.
It would have been six more yards.
It would have been a longer,
two more
crazy play. You're probably right.
Yeah.
But just that was another part of the game I just wanted to throw out there as I was watching it and said, all right, just kick it through the end zone, please. And then it would have been 16 seconds at the 25. Instead, it was 7 seconds at the 31. Again, maybe not the biggest deal, but just going forward, just let them start at the 25 and take your chances with your defense.
Scott's in Stoneham. Hey, Scott.
What's up, Scott?
Dan.
Hello?
Yeah, it's Dan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, hey, Stan.
Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Ian.
Hi, Dan.
How are you doing? So listen, guys, I want to digress from this whole fiasco that happened.
Oh, good.
Yeah, Bruins 2-0 over the weekend.
Well, I want to talk to you about country music.
No, please. Not today. Today's bad enough. We don't need to talk about country music. You're out of your mind.
I want to take you to task.
No.
Some hee-haw song?
No, not today, yeah. Scott. I mean, and take him to task, Scott. On another day.
Listen, Stan.
And I'm a country music fan. Yeah. I disagree with Keith on this, but today...
Of all days, Stan, come on. You're out of your mind. Call in on False Count Anywhere Friday. I'll give you a whole segment on country music. How's that sound? You could break the whole thing down for you on Friday.
With all the stuff that we have to bitch about today, we're
going
to bitch about Keith mocking country music.
He wanted to take me to task. Was it you hung up on him?
Yeah. I couldn't take it anymore.
Couldn't even get the blow up ready. Dale
Ross,
was already
gone. Did you answer that call? Or
I actually did. It was a setup.
What was the, just real quickly, just the, like the Cliff's Notes version of what he wanted to get at me for?
He was upset with Dale and Keith on their takes of the game.
Oh, so he lied.
Oh, really? Oh. So he didn't even bring up country music to you?
He is a snake. Of all the setups, too. Of all the things
man.
He really wants. You know, the things that we've had to deal with behind the scenes. This is what he wants to go after? Really?
Unbelievable.
It's possible that guy was actually Phil Earls and gave us a fake
Ooh,
name.
Ooh, Phil Earl. That's Dale's rival.
My nemesis.
That's your Keith Law.
Phil hasn't responded to me yet on Twitter.
We should make a list of
we
show
eviscerated
villains,
him.
I think.
Yeah. Phil, show villains?
Show villains. So Phil Ayers is on there. I'm telling you, that last guy, Ian, he's on my list. And then probably Keith Law. And that would
Bill Nye. Bill Nye's on there.
Oh, Bill Nye's,
Bill
an
Nye's an
idiot.
Coward. And I don't think he's a doctor, by the way.
He's also not a scientist. He was a comedian. A stand-up comedian, for God's sakes, who tried out for the part as Bill Nye, the science guy.
Well, he got it.
Next thing you know, he's killing the Patriots on... I don't want to say the D
don't,
word.
Please don't.
I'm not
going
to say the D word today. There's so much more to complain about today besides country music and the D word.
Yeah. We got bigger fish to fry, as they say.
Mark's in Medford. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
What's going on?
So when Gustavsky missed that extra point on the first Patriots touchdown, my wife turns to me on the couch and looks at me and says, you know that point is going to come back to haunt them at the end of the game. I said, you know something? For some reason, I believe you. My question
for a change, I believe you.
Yeah. My question is, you scored two more times after that. Why did not Belichick not even think about going for two?
Because you don't chase it.
I like it, actually.
You don't do it until you have to.
I really like it. I hate when guys go for two early. I wouldn't go till the fourth quarter. I mean, it also depends on what exactly the score is, but fourth quarter,
right?
Just because you look at certain situations, you know, you're down.
It was going touchdown for touchdown. It was going back and forth. And then that's when you say, you know what? We need to get that point back. I think they should at least try to get that point back, guys.
I don't until the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
I never do until the fourth quarter. Because you got to look how it lines up, and it depends on, you know, if the other team goes down there and kicks a field goal, well, now all of a sudden you're down a touchdown instead of just being down six or whatever it might be based on.
No, I wouldn't have minded if they'd, I don't know, mixed in a stop now and then.
They could have had a stop. They could have grabbed a stop. But, no, I have no problem. I'm a big proponent of don't go for two till the fourth quarter because so many things can happen. You know, the other team might, you know, be settling for, you might hold them to field goals and that adjusts things, or maybe, you know, they miss an extra point, or who knows what the hell happens. So I just want as many points as possible. So if I'm scoring a touchdown, I'm just going to take the extra point every time.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We're down here at Gillette Stadium. It's Patriots Monday. It is a yuck tsunami down here, as you might be able to tell.
Can't wait for 305.
So much fun here. Bill Belichick will be on with OMF later on today. We're scheduled to have Trey Flowers and James White join us down here at the stadium when they arrive. We will also, at some point today, play the Bill Belichick post-game press conference yesterday.
In its entirety.
Well, if we have time, we'll do the whole thing.
We could probably do that right now.
And at about 12:30 or so, we're going to play part of Tom Brady's appearance this morning on with Martin Callahan.
Yeah, some interesting stuff in there.
So we'll get to all of that and back to your calls as well. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.